down on all who stood and washed his shame. As they mocked him and they scourged him, God turned his eyes away. While high and lifted up, he took the blame. High and lifted up, the loving Savior. High and lifted up for all to see. Reconciling God and man forever. High and lifted up on Calvary.
Morning. I've watched your work for years. I've watched what you've accomplished. I've had the privilege of coming from time to time to speak to your Christian school in the chapel service and just keep tabs on what's going on and how I rejoice in what you've accomplished here at Faith Baptist Church. Keep up the good work. Now, tonight the service is at 6:30. Is that right? 6:30. That's the first time my secretary has ever made a mistake. I'm going to tease her about that. Yes, but it doesn't matter. She only missed it by 30 minutes. That's no problem at all. Your pastor, Dr. Angel, asked me to preach a certain message tonight. And there aren't a large number of men from whom I would take a suggestion on what I should preach. But I respect your pastor so much, and I'll be preaching just exactly what he asked me to preach tonight. Now, I think the fact that he asked me to do that, the fact that he wanted you to hear that particular message is significant. And so I think you ought to be here. And so be here at 6:30 tonight, and we'll have a great time together in the Lord. Please turn in your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the 15th chapter. Jeremiah 15, 16. There's a very, very unusual passage of Scripture. I have a question for you this morning. Are you hungry? No, nobody leave. Nobody leave. Just hold on for a moment. Are you really hungry for the Word of God? You know, we Americans are so spoiled. Most of us Americans don't even know what it is to be hungry. Because, and it's obvious to look at most of us that we've never missed a meal and haven't missed many opportunities to eat between meals. My doctor told me, as no doubt many of you have been told, that I must lose some weight. He said, he's a member of our church, and he said, you know, we need to keep you around here to help at our college. And he said, you need to lose weight. Well, I'm a person, I can lose it slow, but I can't lose it fast. They say that's the best way. But so I saw my doctor the other day, and I'm losing half a pound a month. Now, I've done that faithfully now for 4 years. So I lost 24 pounds, then a couple more, and all. So I saw my doctor at church. I said, Doc, you just be patient. I said, by the time I'm 100, I'm going to be skinny. But we Americans, I can remember one time in my life when I was really hungry, and that was not in the United States. It was my first time out of the States for an extended length of time, and we were in an Indian village high in the mountains of Guatemala, and they served us meat, and the only thing we could imagine it could have been, the only thing around there to provide meat was dogs. And so it was our first experience as young college students eating dog meat. So we didn't eat much of that. And by the time we got back to where we could get our type of food, we were very, very hungry young men. I wish that we could develop a real hunger for the Word of God. In the scripture that I'm drawing to your attention this morning, in Jeremiah 15, the 16th verse, Jeremiah 15, 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Jeremiah here has been lamenting over his lot in life. In verse 10, he's been talking about his great loneliness. But in the midst of all that, he said, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine. He didn't have much to have joy and rejoicing about. Very, very little. But here he says, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. Let's pray. Father, in the next few minutes, I pray that your dear Holy Spirit would come upon us and move in our hearts. Oh, Lord, we must be hungry for your word. We must be desperate for your word. Teach us this morning. Minister to our hearts, Heavenly Father. Dear Holy Spirit, do what I cannot do. And I'm unworthy for you to work through me, but I beg you to do it this morning for Jesus' sake. Amen. My daddy was a right-wing fundamentalist. He believed the book. I recently found a copy of the Word of God, New Testament and Psalms, in large print. I don't know, just because I'm 72 and a half, I guess, I'm kind of attracted to those large print Bibles. And I found, going through my library, I found one that my daddy used the last few years of his life. He's been with the Lord now for some years. But he lived up into his 80s, and he used this large print, New Testament and Psalms. And I've been using it lately, and it's just blessed my heart so much to read and study a New Testament and the book of Psalms that Daddy used. But folks, I'm not a right-wing fundamentalist today because of Daddy. Now, he got me started on the right track. See, he put me under the preaching of the gospel. And I heard one of W.B. Riley's preacher boys preach, and he won me to Christ over 63 years ago. I'm not a fundamentalist today because of my pastor who led me to Christ. Nope. I'm not a fundamentalist today because of old Bob Jones Sr. I came under his influence when I was 17. He was 68, younger than I am now. And he influenced me much until he was up into his 70s and his health took him out of the pulpit.
His son influenced me a lot. But I'm not a fundamentalist today because of Daddy or my preacher or the Dr. Bobs. I'm not a fundamentalist today because of Dr. Lee Robertson. I had the privilege of working for Dr. Robertson 11 years. What a great joy. And he was my friend down to the end of his life. And I miss him greatly. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm not a fundamentalist today because of any of those folks. Nope. Not even because of Daddy. Not even because of my preacher. Not even Dr. Bob, Senior or Junior. Not even Dr. Lee Robertson. I worked for Dr. Jack Hiles for 28 and a half years. What a fundamentalist. What an influence he was on the lives of so many of us. And I remember the days when Dr. Bob was there, and it's such a privilege to have him in the service this morning. And I remember when he was a student there, and we all, administration, faculty, staff, and students, we were all learning fast, if we had any sense, from Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., when I was a student, and then from Dr. Hiles, when Dr. Bob was there at Hiles Anderson College. What a privilege and what a joy to learn from these men. But folks, I'm not a fundamentalist today because of any of them. See, Daddy went to heaven. My preacher died when he was just in his early 60s. Dr. Bob Sr. went to heaven. Dr. Bob Jr. went to heaven. Dr. Lee Robertson went to heaven. Brother Hiles did the unthinkable and left us. He wasn't supposed to leave us. He was supposed to be with us for a long time. But he worked himself to death, preaching and teaching and leading people the right way. Absolutely worked himself to death at the age of 74. Just about a year and a half older than I am right now. They're all gone. But ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you something. The book's still here. Are you hungry for it this morning? Jeremiah was hungry. You young people, your pastor will be gone someday. See? And so many folks, when the important leader in their life goes to heaven, they start shriveling up like an old peach that's been around too long. And the next thing you know, they're gone. You don't see them in the house of God anymore. Now, praise God for godly men. If you have a godly daddy, thank God for him. And honor him and revere him. And if he's in heaven, honor and revere his memory. But ladies and gentlemen, there is no person who can keep you fundamental. And now, the folks that I've talked about this morning, my dad, my preacher who led me to Christ, the Dr. Bobs, Dr. Robertson, Dr. Hiles, none of them ever failed me. But often human beings will fail you. And sometimes the person that won you to Christ will backslide. Sometimes, not often, thank God, but sometimes. Or maybe a godly preacher influenced you years ago will leave fundamentalism. We had a fellow come speak at Hiles Anderson one time, and he asked if he could make his sermons available to our students. Well, we thought he was a right-wing fundamentalist. Dr. Scott asked me, he said, should we have this fellow speak? And I said, well, I think it'd be all right. I'd known him. I'd preached for him. We were shocked when he gave out some CDs of sermons and to find that he wasn't using the King James Bible anymore. Shocked and disappointed. Man will disappoint you sometimes. But this book never changes. Everything else will change. That's why you ought to eat the Word like Jeremiah did. Are you hungry? Are you desperate? No, the average American Christian is not desperate for the Word. How many Bibles do you have? I'm going to call on some of you folks to tell me how many Bibles you have. I have at least 22. My wife's only been saved 10 years. An angel has been saved 10 years. And she has about 4, I think. How many Bibles do you have, Brother Hanson? Five Bibles. Dr. Bob, how many?
15 or more. Yeah. Well, that's typical of American preachers. I've been preaching over 55 years. And people give me a lot of, I wouldn't ask me to watch it. I want to watch 80 Bibles. And I'm thankful for every one of them.
Oh, how spoiled we are. But it's not how many Bibles we have. It's how much time we spend in them.
Amen.
I want to ask you this morning, folks, are you serious about living in this book? Now, I'm a bookworm. By third grade, Sunday school teachers and other teachers were already commenting to my parents about what a good reader I was. Well, yeah, I'm a bookworm. I have 5,000 books in my library. I've given many away, or I would have more than that. But folks, I've been married twice. I have a book out entitled Lessons from a Fairly Long Life and Two Marriages. Now, folks, I was not married to two women at the same time. I want to make that very, very clear. After my wife Marlene went to heaven, a little more than a year, my pastor came to me. Now, when Marlene went to heaven, I told my young pastor, young to me, he was just, you know, just in his 40s. He's only 49 now, mere child. But he's my pastor, and I listen to him. Let me tell you. And I told my young pastor when Marlene went to heaven, I said, "Preacher, Brother Scott," I said, "there's no fool like an old fool, and I don't want to be an old fool." So I said, "I want you, my pastor, to feel free to correct me, make suggestions at any time." Oh, I lived to regret those words. Because after Marlene had been in heaven about a year, my pastor came to me. We were meeting every Friday back in those days. And he said, "You know, you need a little social life." He said, "You need a little feminine influence in your life." I called my daughter in the mission field. She said, "Dad, just call me on the phone more often. That's all the feminine influence you need." But she was just kidding. But he said, "I'm not talking about that you should remarry." He said, just take some widow out once in a while for a meal. And how many of you took a course? Are there anybody here that took leadership? Is there anybody here? Yeah, okay. And you remember how I harped on attitude. About half the course was attitude. Do you have the right attitude? Folks, I did not have the right attitude. I had an attitude already. It was bad. So in a week, I got my attitude straightened out and reluctantly said, "Okay, preacher, who do you have in mind?" I figured in that big church, there was somebody that he knew about that I didn't. He said, "No, I don't know anybody. So I'm supposed to find my own." So I said, I thought I was going to get off the hook. I said, "Preacher, the only person in Northwest Indiana that I've even thought about asking out is a lady who's only been saved for 6 years." I thought I'd get off the hook. I thought he'd say, "Oh, no, that won't do. You need a mature Christian." I thought I'd get off the hook. Do you know what my pastor said? He said, "She's only been saved 6 years." And I thought, man, this is working. You know, he's horrified. "She's only been saved 6 years." He said, "Good, she might be a lot of fun." My godly pastor said that. Well, sure enough, she was. And now Elaine and I have been married 4.5 years. And, boy, what a blessing she's been to me. But, folks, it's important that you get godly counsel and that you follow this book. How serious are you about living in this book? Now, back to being a bookworm. During the time I was single, I converted several of the closets in my house into bookshelves so I could have more than 5,000 books. Well, then when I realized the lady and I were going to be getting married, I cleared off some space for her, and I called her all excited one day, and I said, "Elaine, I've cleared off space for your clothes." She said, "How much?" I said, "Half of a closet."
I didn't know that she was a clothes horse. And that God had blessed her financially, and she had bought a lot of clothes while she was single after her husband passed away. And so she said, "Oh, honey, that half a closet, that's not going to cut it. That's just not going to do it." But folks, I love books. I love history. I've taught it for years. It's only been one semester of my life since I entered Christian education in early 1962 that I haven't taught at least one history course. And I'll be teaching it again this fall. But there's no book in the world like this book, this King James Bible, which I hold in my hand. In Greek, the Bible means the book. But my wife gave me a new book a few months ago that, when I read it, made me realize that my love for the Word of God was anemic. It told the story. A story in China in 1979. A tiny farming village where the people were very poor. And a young 16-year-old boy named Yun. Y-U-N. Remember that name. Y-U-N. Brother Yun. Yun was very worried about his father. His father had lung cancer. Then the cancer spread to the stomach. And death was coming soon. Yun's mother had gotten saved before the missionaries were expelled from China. But she wasn't hearing any preaching. There were hardly any churches that they could go to. No place that you couldn't get a Bible. And she had backslidden. But with her husband dying, Yun's mom got right with God and started praying and begging God to heal her husband. Within a week, her husband was healed. They sent word out to all their relatives and friends to come to their humble farm home. The friends and relatives who came all thought they were coming to Yun's dad's funeral. Instead, he greeted them at the door, obviously in good health. Yun's mom started witnessing to him. She was illiterate, but she knew the Lord, and she'd gotten right with God now. And almost all their relatives and many of their friends got saved, including this 16-year-old boy of hers named Yun. She told everybody about Jesus. Now, back in those days in China, you couldn't find a Bible. It was against the law to have a Bible. In those days, nobody in China was allowed to read anything except the writings of Mao Zedong. So, it was a problem for these young Christians. Yun was growing in the Lord. His mom was teaching him, but she didn't know much. She said, "I'm going to take you to a former pastor in another village. He's not a pastor now because he suffered so much time in jail, came out with his health broken, but I'm going to take you to this old pastor, and I think he'll let you see a Bible." They went there. They got there. The pastor was afraid that they were communist agents. And he said, "No, I'll not show you a Bible." And this young Christian, Brother Yun, said, "Preacher," he said, "I won't touch it if you'll just let me see it." Paul said, "No." But Yun said, "I need a Bible." And the former pastor said, "Son, if you want a Bible, you better start praying." So, Yun did for a long time. Came back to him weeks later and said, "I've prayed, and I still don't have a Bible." The pastor said, "Okay, I want you to fast and pray." This young Christian, full of zeal and inspired by the Holy Spirit, not only prayed and fasted, but he was so taken up with it that his parents thought he was going crazy. Finally, one night, in the middle of the night, two men knocked at the door. Yun went to the door. They had a big package for him. He said, "We brought you some bread." In the middle of a big loaf of bread was a Bible. And the men disappeared. He had no idea who they were. Of course, they were all afraid of being arrested. He opened up that Bible, and it was in the old Chinese characters. Some of it he couldn't understand. A lot of the words he had to look up in dictionaries. But now he had a Bible.
And you see, Brother Jan, this young teenage Christian, was desperate to know the Word of God. He didn't take it casually. There was no dust on his Bible. He was desperate not only for a Bible, but for a knowledge of that Bible. He read through it quickly. Then he began to memorize. In 28 days, he memorized the 28 chapters of Matthew. Wait a minute, folks. He's 16 years old. He had a third grade education, but he memorized the Gospel of Matthew. Folks, chapter 13 in Matthew has 58 verses. You know, I tried to memorize Philippians one time. Hey, that's more my style. Four chapters. The whole book is only about 102 verses. That's more my style. And I memorized half of it, thank the Lord. But this young fellow memorizes the 28 chapters of Matthew in 28 days. He was baptized by immersion. And then he goes ahead and he memorizes the first 12 chapters of the book of Acts. Well, that set him on fire. And when he read Acts 1:8 and memorized that, ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. He begged for the power of the Holy Spirit. A man, an older man, came to him and said, we're going to have a meeting over here in Gao Village. We want you to come. We want you to speak. Young went with him. Brother Young went with him. They went to this village. And the older Christian began to say to the farm workers, this is the man that you've been praying for. 30 or 40 people dropped their tools, their primitive agricultural tools, and went to a house. Young didn't know what to do. He'd never had a day of Bible school. He'd never had a course in preaching. He shut his eyes tight, and he held his Bible up high, and he just began to quote it. God blessed in a wonderful way. And this young Christian, Brother Young, in his first year as a Christian, led over 2,000 people to Christ. As he got older, he married a fine young Chinese girl, Delane. Soon, Young was arrested. They hadn't been married long when they were riding a bus for him to go to a meeting in an underground church, because there was no open church. The known churches were run by the state and were apostate. As they were riding on the bus, they saw big signs as they went through a village. What did the signs say? They were advertising that anyone who saw this man, Yun, should see that he was arrested immediately, that he was a dangerous, dangerous criminal. They lost their first child. Those were desperate days in China. China still has no religious freedom. The Christians would meet at night and then just get what little sleep they could along with their work in the daytime. One time they had a big meeting in a barn in a remote farm. And they brought Yun there to preach, but he was so tired that he could not preach. And he turned the service over to others. He went out into a cornfield. The corn was tall, like it is this time of year. And he thought that would be a safe place for him, that the police couldn't find him there, but they found him. But for once, the police were fair and didn't arrest him because they couldn't really connect him to that meeting. But later, he was arrested many, many times. I wonder how many arrests it would take us before we'd quit serving God. I can't imagine it. We're so blessed here, not only with many, many Bibles, not only, but with religious freedom. He was beaten terribly. He was beaten so badly. One time when he was in prison, they came by and said, Mr. Young, we're going to take you to the hospital. And I thought, oh, praise God, because he couldn't walk. They had to carry him. His legs were broken. His arms were broken. He was beaten up terribly. Thought, oh, praise God, they're finally going to give me some medical attention. He came to the hospital, and guess what? The treatment they gave him. They started driving steel pins under his fingernails. About the third one, he passed out. When he woke up, he had steel pins under all of his fingernails. He served three long terms in prison. Finally, he and his wife had a child that lived. That child was 3 years old before he ever saw him. They escaped to Burma. Something went wrong in Burma. It's a terrible totalitarian regime, almost as bad as China was. He got thrown in jail in Burma and was given a 7-year sentence. But God miraculously released him in just a few days. And he and his wife and family fled to Europe. As he preaches around the world now and is free from communist domination, from the communist domination of China, as he preaches in Northern Europe in churches and in America and Canada in churches, there's one thing that impresses Jan. He is now about 49 years of age. He says he cannot believe the deadness of the American and European churches and their lack of seriousness about serving God. Folks, are you serious about the Bible? Or have you neglected it? What is your attitude toward the Scriptures? This is your meat. This is your bread. This is your living water. I'm not going to tell you how many chapters you ought to read a day. I'm not going to tell you how to study the Scripture. I just want you to study it and read it and memorize it and meditate on it. Have you learned to meditate? Just let the words of certain passages go over and over. I was out walking this morning, and I'm an old farm boy, and as soon as I can get the suit and tie off, I put on my bibs and my denim shirt. And I was out early this morning near our motel. There was a soybean field. I walked out into it and found the tallest soybeans. And I'm checking the pods to see if the seeds are developing, just like an old farmer would do. But folks, I'm more concerned, is your life bearing seed? Is your life bearing fruit? Are you a fruit-bearing Christian? Are you seeing things happen for God? Maybe it's because you have not eaten the Word. You're not hungry for it. How long has it been since you picked up your Bible and really got into it? Or did you just speed read through your Bible reading schedule? Maybe you ought to slow down and let God work in your heart. Maybe you ought to slow down and let the Spirit of God take hold of your heart. You see, folks, I've gone through the people that influenced me so much. My daddy. I never finished the 10th grade. I'll tell you more about him tonight. But a great Christian, a great fundamentalist. When he was in his 70s, he became a bus worker. When he was in his 80s, and I'd come back from preaching, he'd say, "Son, anybody get saved? Anybody get saved?" That was his heart. See, as a farmer, he was concerned about the ears of corn and how big they were and the yield of the soybeans and the yield of the oats. But as he matured and continued to grow in the Lord, he was concerned about the yield of souls. How about you? Are you in the book? Are you in the book? Folks, it's the only thing that won't change. I remember the first car that Daddy had when I was a little boy, a 1929 Chevy Coupe. We were just the three of us that didn't have any brothers and sisters, so we could fit in that one-seater. Do you realize about 3 years before that cars didn't even have windshield wipers that were mechanical? About three years before that, and you had to, drive with the steering wheel with your left hand, shift gears with your right hand, and then sometime you're supposed to, when you don't have to shift gears, you get up there and move that windshield wiper. Because if you don't move it, it's not moving. It was not mechanical. That's how primitive they were. I remember, I was so excited, World War II, you couldn't buy cars, but we got a used car with just a few miles off. 36 Pontiac, straight 8, kind of a big boat. We thought it was neat. Man, that thing would go 0 to 60 in about 2 weeks. We were so excited. Now we have all of our technological marvels in our automobiles. They almost talk to you. Mine says the wrong things sometimes. How about the book?
It hasn't changed. Technology has changed, some good, some bad. I praise God for all the advances in modern medicine. But there are many things in our world that continue to change, continue to spiral downward as sin becomes more and more sophisticated and more wicked. And it seems like we're headed for the sins of Corinth with the union of religion and extreme wickedness. I'll not go into the details. But the way you can keep your family and your life from going that way is to get in the book. Get in the book. Are you hungry? I know if I don't stop preaching, you're going to be real hungry, aren't you? Brother Hiles was so funny. And Brother Ross and some of the others will remember some of those things. He'd be baptizing, and about the 150th baptism, you know, now it'd be about 1:45. And if somebody came through with a name like Seaburger, he'd say, boy, an old Seaburger would really go well right now, wouldn't it? But I'm wondering, are you hungry for the book? Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'll ask your instrumentalists to come. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'll ask that nobody leave unless you're really sick right now, if unless you absolutely have to. I wonder who'd say, Brother Evans, I've neglected the book. Maybe you're not saved. Oh, if you're not saved, if you don't know for sure that you're on your way to heaven, you have no appetite for the book. And you would think it's crazy for us to talk about eating the Scripture as Jeremiah and Ezekiel did. I wonder who'd say this morning, Brother Evans, I know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Let's start there. Brother Evans, I know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Hold your hand up just a moment. Now, in this big crowd, I can't see who has a hand up and who doesn't. You may put them down. But I did that to make you think. And if you're here this morning and you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, I beg you, slip up your hand right now and say, Preacher, Brother Hansen, Brother Evans, please pray for me. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Just slip up your hand and hold it there for just a moment. Now I wonder who would say, Brother Evans, I have neglected the bread of heaven. I've neglected the Word of God. And I'm going to get that right this morning. Would you slip up your hand, please? All over this auditorium, who would say that? God bless you. Who else? While we wait just a moment. Brother, yes, God bless you. Amen. I'm neglecting my Bible. By the way, if you don't have your Bible, have a Bible. I imagine somebody around here will find you one. I've neglected my Bible. Somebody else, while we wait just a moment. Just a moment. Let's all stand. In a few moments, I'm going to point to the instrumentalists, and I'll ask them to wait until I point. The moment they hit the first note, if you need to come to this altar and do business with God about the neglect of His Word, you come right on the first note.